News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 17th of October, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting stuff, including a very exciting and important announcement. But before we do any of that, we're going to go to the news, and we'll start with Steve, who's completely not ready.
I'm totally not ready.
Totally not ready. I don't like this 2 minutes to get our stuff all set
up.
Well, we had some financial announcements in the Apple world this week. Apple announced their fourth quarter profits, and if I can get my screen up. Basically, they did significantly better than anyone thought. It was $160 million in profit. But what was really interesting is the numbers breakdown on how many of each computer they sold. They sold over 2 million iPods in last quarter, which is their fourth quarter of 2004. 2 million iPods in a quarter is about 20,000 a day worldwide. So that's an amazing number. And that represents a 500% increase over last year. So it's really amazing. And what they also announced is that the iPod has a 92% market share in hard drive-based MP3 players. And last week or so, all Microsoft and Virgin and Sony all announced their own portable players. And Steve Ballmer from Microsoft said that the iPod is a fad and it's going to die and Apple can't sustain it. And ours is better anyway because it's not proprietary. It uses the proprietary WMA format.
Right.
It's a different proprietary. And he said, and anyway, all the music people put on their iPods is stolen anyway.
Great.
And he later apologized for that.
Now, we know that there are a bunch of other companies that are coming out with iPod-like.
Yeah, hard drive-based players. Most of them are using the WMA file format with their digital rights protection. I forget what it's called, but it's Apple uses the FairPlay digital rights protection, and it's not specifically the file formats that are incompatible because the iPod will play WMAs. It's the digital management, digital rights management. So to prevent you from copying it to somebody else is what the holdup is.
But I have to say, Apple's incredibly generous. You get to put it on like a half a dozen devices.
Right, and burn a bunch of copies for yourself. Basically, for a single user, it's unlimited use.
Right.
You know, you can put it on five computers and seven CDs. And if a single person is doing more than that anyway, they're already breaking the law.
You're right.
But it's really amazing. And in terms of computers, Apple sold 800,000 computers in the quarter, which is almost 10,000 a day. And some of the breakdowns are interesting. They only sold 150,000 Power Macs, but they made $350 million on them. So their lowest selling unit is their highest profit margin. They sold nearly twice as many iMacs and eMacs, but only earned half as much on it. So stock is up. The sales are up. Everything is up. It's a really great time for Apple as a company and to buy Apple stock, actually.
Yeah.
It would have been really, really better last year because it's going up so much. But a lot of the analysts are forecasting even higher earnings, and Apple stock is now a buy.
Cool. Dave?
Yep. Okay, a few things here in the news. One, Olympus is now taking the PC out of photo printing. Olympus just announced that they've now got a camera solution which enables. Olympus has just introduced a total imaging solution which enables literally professional photographers to shoot, store, and print digital photos without requiring a computer. Due out the first quarter of this year includes an IR500 4X megapixel camera, a 40 gig hard drive. Portable, and a dye sublimating photo printer.
which are gorgeous but expensive.
Yeah, I mean, this is not for the faint of heart. It's going to cost you some big bucks, but for the professional photographers that don't need to get into doing all that type of stuff, you know.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And I think we need to take a moment to congratulate Rob on all the new bumps. They're quite wonderful.
Well, I can't take all, you know, I can't take all of the, you know, props for him. I mean, Phil Mercado, our one of our, you know, assistant station manager here or whatever. He
who hopefully isn't listening at the moment.
I think I'm not sure what his official title is, but anyway, he's awesome at making these bumps. So he did them, I wrote them, but he put the music.
Well, the
really
two of you deserve massive kudos.
A donut.
You have more stuff.
Yeah, just a couple other quick things here.
Well, I wanted to mention on that camera thing. Kodak has their camera docks for in the consumer market. You dock it down. Epson and most of the other companies have memory slots on their printer, so you don't need your computer to print. Most of the people want to use their computer so they can edit out the bad pictures.
Yeah, right.
They can remove people they don't like.
Well, it's supposed to be on your camera, you know, going through the preview.
Right,
so
but
you can erase
on that little tiny 2-inch screen, it's a little hard to do much editing.
Granted. All right, for all you folks that were really hoping to maybe put off until Christmas of getting a new Intel Pentium 4 4 gigahertz machine, forget it. There's been a big delay, and the chips probably won't be out until the first quarter of 2005.
Good thing you're not a doctor. Your bedside manner stinks.
Yeah, through instant messenger. So, again, update.
In the Microsoft world, critical flaws were found in Windows and Office. Microsoft released 10, count them, 10 software security packages for their products, including 7 that were critical, their highest designation. The other 3 were the second highest designation. So you really, really, really ought to update. These are pretty bad holes. There were 21 different vulnerabilities spread across the 10 security buildings. Network managers, man, you have problems. There's no question about that. And those of you who are hoping to test patches before you install them, you're going to be hard-pressed to do that this time because they're so bad that you're really going to want to install them pretty instantaneously.
Microsoft announced or released the Service Pack 1 for Office 2004 for Mac, and we're anxiously awaiting to see if any of these problems affect us.
Exactly. There's flaws in NT, in XP, in Server 2003, a remote code execution vulnerability in Excel that affects users of Excel 2000, Excel 2001, and Excel 2002. A critical vulnerability in the way Windows processes compressed files, Windows SMTP, the Exchange server routing engine. It's pretty huge. So if you're running anything that has the word Microsoft in front of it, you need to fix it. Here's my favorite patch of the week. Microsoft has issued, just yesterday in point of fact, Microsoft issued a patch for Service Pack 2.
A patch of patch is the patch.
A patch to patch the patch. Here's why. You're going to love this one. If you're a Windows user, you're going to seriously be downloading Linux in about 3 minutes. The Service Pack 2, was causing system crashes due to a conflict with a hidden application from Total Velocity Software called TV Media. Now, what you may ask,
what could that be?
Is TV Media? Well,
sounds
I'll tell
like them to watch television on your screen, which
it
is cool.
It certainly does seem that, but in fact, what it does is every once in a while, when it's told to by someone on the internet, it displays an ad to you.
Built-in adware
downloaded with Service Pack 2. Isn't that special?
Now, shouldn't they also be charged with, there was another article where a couple companies are being sued and fined for installing spyware on the machines as they're selling them.
Well, yes. Without permission, but right. That license agreement gives permission.
This is the problem. There's something called an end-user license agreement that you have to say, I agree, before you can install something. Nobody reads it, and in it, it says things
you
like, you give us permission to show you ads, but nobody reads it, and so they agree, and you're on your way. Now, that's never been, that sort of shrink-wrap agreement has never actually been tested in court. But I don't want to be the guy who goes up against Microsoft in court to do that, because by the time you're done, you're in the poorhouse. Anybody who installed SP2 via the Windows Update website or Windows Automatic Updating System or through Outlook Express or through any way at all will have TV Media installed. But this new patch will actually offer you the uninstall feature. It's critical update 885523 for those of you who need to know this. It's only through Windows Update and Automatic Update to users who have TV Media installed, that is to say, Service Pack 2. So it's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting deal. I don't know how you feel about that, but you did agree to it, and so you're on your way. Get over it. And then one last thing. Bill Gates had a little interview with some folks about the Windows XP Media Center that they're bringing out. It's a PC that's mostly designed to do media. And somebody hit him with a great question. Speaking of security, Internet Explorer has had well-publicized hole. Bill Gates then replied with, understand, those are cases where you are downloading third-party software.
Which is true.
Yes.
What technically, it's true.
Yes, what Bill Gates is basically saying is that the holes in Windows are not his fault because they're not from him. They're from third-party software, which kind of avoids the question of how did they get into your machine in the first place through the holes in Windows. But
if they didn't have the holes, they couldn't get in.
Right. It's nice to know that...
Boy, what an end-around answer.
It's nice to know that they're not his fault, and I'm delighted to say that. Okay, that's the news. We've got all kinds of other stuff going on. I think we're going to go to the phones now. Rob's running on half speed. He's got a bit of a toothache today.
And he's got a young intern.
He's got an intern here, and he's explaining
make
the ropes.
Sound dirt. Okay.
He's explaining. Can I finish my sentence?
No, because I knew where you were
going
to go.
I was going nowhere with it.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
Whatever
that,
we think
that
of
that
you,
that was the
we
president
like
of the United States, and if he's not setting an example for the rest of us.
Right, because he isn't the president anymore.
Ooh, look at you stud.
But Rob has an intern. Andrea? Aria.
Oh,
Aria is the Would you like to introduce yourself, Ariana?
Introduce yourself. Come on. No.
Some radio intern she's going to make.
One thing we got forgot to tell her. See this? This is a webcam. You are live on the web.
And the one behind you, too.
In the front of your head, the back of your head.
99 cents per minute. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
She's worth more than that.
At any rate, let's drag this back out of the gutter and say that Rob is not only working at half speed because he has a toothache, but he's also got an intern that he's showing her the ropes, and so he's a little distracted.
I'm not distracted. I'm paying attention.
Okay, then. We'll go to our next caller who's...
I don't think we're going to have time.
We're not going to have time?
No. Can you guys talk for about a minute?
Yeah, we can. Frank, I'm sorry you're going to have to hold on. We're going to come back to you.
I had one more news story.
All right, go ahead.
Steve Jobs unveiled their new Apple Mini stores this week. The Buffalo Walden Galleria and Albany here in New York have giant Apple stores with big theaters. They're now coming out with a new smaller store, 750 square foot mini store, and the Syracuse Carousel Mall is going to be getting one by the end of the year.
Great.
But so the iTunes, though, was just, I just read an article,
150 million legal downloads.
The iTunes, out of all the sharing of music, is still the most popular.
Yeah, iTunes has a 70% market share for legal downloads.
Yeah, I mean that.
Feels good to be
story
better than five.
I can explain when I come back why you folks want to go to an iTunes versus a program like BearShare.
Right, and when we come back, I'll even tell you what today's trivia of the week is, and we'll get to Frank from Fairport, and we'll have the website of the week, and we'll do all kinds of stuff. We're going to come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
following has been paid for by the...
On News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
I'm Ariane.
Excellent!
We knew what we
And you're listening to Soundbites. We're going to get to the phones in just a quick moment, but I do want to announce, of course, every week we have our little trivia contest. I'm going to make it easy this week. This is a real easy one.
Cool.
You're having way too much fun. And, of course, what you get is a copy of the Anonymizer 2004 suite, a great product. You'll get the Anonymizer itself, of course, and you'll get the Spyware Killer and all the other stuff. It's a very nifty product. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But it's a, you get that simply by answering this trivia question. What, and it doesn't have to be in the form of a question, what was the nickname of the IBM PC Junior? And you're not allowed to answer. What was the nickname of the IBM PC Junior? Our first caller...
He was pointing to Dave when he said, you're not all of you out there listening.
Right. Dave Enright is not allowed to answer this
one.
Question. Right. So did I. I even had the networking modules for it. I could hook half a dozen of these guys together into a network. Our first caller is Frank from Fairport, New York. I promised we'd get to you, Frank, and here we are.
I have two questions. I ran a PC pit stop, and it says that I have spyware coming from my Hewlett Packard printer. And second, I'm running Spyware Blaster, Spyware Guard, and I run Adware and Stinger. Am I going overboard?
Yeah. You're not only killing them, you're pounding them 20 feet under.
I'll tell you what, I've never used PC Pit Stop, and I don't think I'm going to, because this week in particular, I've heard nothing but false alarms from PC Pit Stop. About a half a dozen people have said they're getting spyware coming from inside their printer and inside their modem and inside their mouse, and I'm thinking that can't all be right.
One of the things that SpyBot warns you about is that if you have another anti-spyware program like Adware or whatnot, it may come back with a false positive because SpyBot has pattern definitions of what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
So the other programs may see a definition file for what spyware is and think it is spyware.
Yep. Yeah, but there won't be a lot of printer. There won't be a lot of definitions inside the guy's printer.
Yeah. No.
But at any rate, I sincerely doubt that you have spyware inside your HP printer.
I'm removing PC Pit Stop as we speak.
There you go.
Super.
I'm not saying it's a bad product. I'm just saying that until they update
too
it, there's a whole lot
good.
Of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're killing the killing.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
What was the second question?
Apparently, he doesn't have one. Our probably was going to be, how do I get rid of it?
Ah.
And if he doesn't have it,
the
second question becomes mute. Our next caller is Janet from Caledonia. Welcome, Janet. What's your question?
I've got a Dell 2400 XP, Windows XP, and I turned it on the other day, and a message come up and said that there was virus detected, so I run the McAfee, and out of 48,000 files that went through it, he had one file that had a virus.
Mm-hmm.
I deleted it. I did not quarantine it.
Very good.
So... Oh, that is good. Okay, yeah. So now when I turn on my computer, I'll click on my name. It says it's setting my settings, and then I get a blue screen with Dell's name on it. I got no desktop, nothing.
Do you happen to remember the name of the file that had the virus?
No, I don't. It was a bunch. It looked like jibber-jabber to me, really.
It may have been a Windows system file that had a virus in it or a virus that replaced the Windows system file.
Well, right now we're just reinstalling all the drivers.
What you can do is just if you reboot the machine and hit F8 while
F8.
It's booting,
right?
You'll get a black screen and it has a bunch of different options. One of them, safe mode. You work your way down to last known good boot up, and try selecting that.
Okay.
What I would then do is, if it boots up, then reboot the machine again, hit F8. Then you want to select safe mode.
Okay.
And then try running your McAfee. Now, the McAfee is up to date?
I would assume so. I mean, it came out
when
No.
You cannot assume. Because quite often with McAfee and the Dell computers, They only come with a 60 or 90 day free trial.
Oh.
So you're going to want to go into McAfee and make sure they're not protected.
So go update that once you get everything restored. We have to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Ariane, we don't know her last name, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Why on
computer? You don't know what's in there, but it knows your every move. It can track your surfing habits. It can do all kinds of stuff to you. The Anonymizer Private Surfing Suite will kill all of that for you. It has a spyware killer. It has a mail shell anti-spam desktop. And it's got the Anonymizer Private Surfing 2004, which means that this system lets you surf the web without exposing yourself. You're completely anonymous on the web. How do you get it? You go to getprivatenow.com. That's getprivatenow.com, all one word. Enter my name, Nick, and you can get this entire suite, which is a $90 value, for only $49.95. That's getprivatenow.com. Enter my name, Nick, the Anonymizer Privacy Suite. Do it today. Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
I'm Ariane.
You know what, Nick?
What?
I gotta tell you, our computer's got gremlins in it today.
Why? What happened?
I mean, our computer here.
Does it?
It's playing like multiple things at one time. Can you go ahead and fix that for me?
Yeah, not a problem. All you right, got thanks. A hammer?
Yeah.
I'll get right on that. Our next, maybe, well, look at all the people hanging up. Well, our next caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hello there, Nick. Question. I am having a problem understanding how to empty my temp files in my temp folder in Windows on the hard drive. I've gotten into the Windows folder, the temp folder, and I'm seeing a list of other folders and files, and I'm trying to understand what is it that I need to delete or clear.
Everything.
That's one of my current tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Under I just put up a bunch of tips, and I know there's one more that I want to do about cleaning it out. If you go into Internet Explorer, you go under Tools and Options.
Right.
There's an option there to clear out cookies and to clear out temporary Internet files.
Right.
That's the safest way of going in there. And it, once you say click, check, or click on the temporary internet file,
right.
It opens up another box. You put a little check mark in there and say go to it.
Clear all.
And
sometimes,
it'll clear them all.
Sometimes, though, it doesn't get them all because they've been in there too long, and then you have to manually go to the temp folder and delete everything that's in there.
Yeah. So that'll take care of what's on the hard drive itself?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dan. We appreciate it. Once again, don't forget, we're trying to give away a copy of the Anonymizer Suite. All you have to do is answer the following trivia question. What was the nickname of the IBM PC Junior?
Can I answer now?
No.
Oh.
In point of fact, let me head you off at the pass. You can never answer. Not ever.
Any
not now,
question.
Not later,
I gotta
not
tell this
never.
I had just gotten my PC Junior.
Yeah.
And I had it maybe about a week.
Yeah.
Wife's headed off to England.
Sure.
For 3 weeks. At that time, she was recording. And she looked, she came out, she was packing it, she came back out, looked, and I had the PC Junior all apart, spread all over our dining room table. And she goes,
well, the first thing you have to do is take it apart.
Yeah, she goes,
I've been doing that for your iMac.
I know.
There.
Well, that's the most user accessible Mac ever. Three screws, the whole back comes off, you get everything in there.
Right.
So, anyways, she goes, what the heck are you doing to the screw? Take it apart. Got to upgrade the memory.
Yeah.
Didn't even have it. And that's back when we had those little chips.
Yeah, you put the individual chips
yeah,
in.
Yeah, the individual chips, and you bent one prong.
You were done.
Yeah, forget it. You got to pull them all out.
Yep.
And remake
and
sure that one didn't get bent under.
When they were like $1,000 a bite.
Yeah, right.
Right. Back in the
right.
day.
So our trivia question, what was the nickname of the IBM PC Junior? Our next caller is Rich from Roch. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, can I answer the trivia?
I don't know, can you?
Yes. Is the name the Peanut?
Yes, it is!
Yay!
Congratulations! When you're finished answering a question, stay on the line, and the lovely and talented Rob Linton will take your email address so that
lovely?
We can get you...
Lovely?
Well, I was going to say something else, and then I realized we're
flowers
on radio.
Flowers are lovely.
Flowers...
Flowers are lovely.
You're talking about the pretty young lady next to
it. But not I was not.
So in comparison,
we're not going to ask.
But
you
forgot to shave this morning, too.
Phone. We're going
to
get. He's doing this little Shaggy Rogers thing on his chin. It's a whole.
What was it? Shaggy.
Shaggy,
yeah.
Norville
from,
Roberts.
From Scooby.
It's a little Shaggy. Little chin spin.
And not the Freddie Prinze Shaggy.
No.
Casey Kasem Shaggy.
Freddie Prinze was never Shaggy.
That's right. He was
Matthew
Fred.
Lillard.
Matthew Lillard
was,
yeah.
Was
what
Shaggy.
What do you think?
Okay, Rich, what's your question?
Okay, I have a distribution list with about 25 or 30 people on it, and I send mail out to them regularly. And I have, I'm fully protected with Norton antivirus, the latest definitions and so
sure.
forth. I'm on Roadrunner, and
yeah.
usually Roadrunner also, picks up any viruses that might be coming into me, for example, and I haven't had a virus to actually hit my
right.
machine from email in a long time. But what's happening is that there's one individual on Juno whom I send mail to, and every message I send him, he gets a flag from Juno saying that the message is infected. And yet no one else on my distribution list is telling me they're getting infected files.
Does he
me.
Get a message that says it's infected or that it's been blocked?
It's been, well, he's...
Because
well,
there's two...
It's been, okay, I thought it said that it's been cleaned.
Well,
I'm
I do
sure
know
now.
That Juno often
yeah.
puts Roadrunner's entire mail system on their block list because one person somewhere in the Roadrunner system has either sent too much mail out at once or they've got a virus, and rather than blocking the individual, they take the lazy person's way out and just block the whole thing.
Okay, well, I'll have to check that.
Tell him to get another email, a free email address.
The other possible issue is does he get the message you're really sending? Because someone could be spoofing your address with a real virus.
Well, that was my second question, because what's happening is another individual who's on my distribution list, he's on Roadrunner as well, and while he doesn't have any problem with any of my emails, there's another friend of mine who...
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's spoofing you, and there's really nothing you can do about that.
And tell that other person with Juno, I mean, there's plenty of places you can go out and get free email, free email accounts, so give that a shot, and we got to take a break.
Yeah, I'm afraid we have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton, Ariane, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Jinkies, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Everybody now.
No.
Gentlemen, there's no need to feel down.
All right, quick. Okay. Let me save those pictures on the camera.
No! I must tell you that my daughter, when she was three, maybe, just loved this song.
Oh, yeah.
And we must have heard this about 11 zillion times in my house.
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that one.
Man, oh, man, is heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is radio, just man.
Oh, man, oh, man.
TV, we would be...
Forcing you to remember the worst of the 80s. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
At our big science fiction convention we go to in Toronto every year, they have to play YMCA, Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, Love Shack, all these really bad 80s songs, because we're all in our 40s now, and that's our youth.
For somebody who DJs, that Paradise by a Dashboard Light song is a beautiful thing. It's about 10 minutes long.
You can go to
the
can.
You can
go to the bathroom. You can go to the get a Pepsi.
Yep. Go get the table for the second time. Buffet.
I'm just having this vision of 400 people dressed like Klingons doing YMCA.
That was horrible.
I don't even want to think about this.
I have pictures of that on my website.
I bet you do.
What was really weird is the lady in the alien costume. It was a really good cut. They had an alien and a power loader, and their sketch in the costume con was the big fight from the movie. But she's done. No, that's Star Wars.
Oh,
she was done. Oh, we had a lot of great stormtroopers last year too. some of the costumes that win the costume contest, we're really annoyed because they look store bought until you get up close. And my God, he did make that stormtrooper costume from scratch, molding the plastic around him.
Yeah, Steve, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Well, my son is a Power Ranger this year. He's he's already got that worked out. I'm usually the dirty old man in the corner.
With the overcoat?
Because really, it's all you need is an overcoat and socks. There's your whole costume. You're done. How hard is that?
But it's the little alien that pops out of your chest.
Oh, that part. I was confused for a moment.
Oh, no, not again.
I was confused for just a moment. I actually bought a fog machine.
Yeah, they're cheap now.
To used to be expensive. Put on my porch. Last year we had all this fog for the kids, and we'd pop out of it. It was very
cool.
I have
one for my DJ business, but it sets off all the fire alarms. So
well, and
it
stinks, actually. Oh, that's the other part of the problem. Listen, we're going to be back on the other side of the news because and we're not going to talk about science fiction anymore. We're going to talk about the other science fiction, computers, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
He's good.
You've missed your calling.
Yeah.
What was my calling?
We can't say on the radio.
True.
Welcome. Is my mic on here?
You're right.
Okay.
Talk.
I got no light.
Well, it's blown.
I had a light a minute ago. I got no light now.
Tap on it.
Oh, yeah.
Modern technology.
It's just like fixing computers.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, hit it.
Get a bigger hammer.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
I'm Ariane.
Right. And you're listening to Soundbites. We're going to get back to the phone shortly, but we have a number of things we want to do first, and I'm going to start with a huge announcement. You do not, under any circumstances, want to miss next week's show. Sunday, October 24th,
yes,
at 11 a.m., we're going to have a very special guest to interview. Bill Atkinson, the man who created HyperCard, Mac Paint, most of the GUI of the Macintosh. He's now a world-renowned photographer,
whoa,
and he's going to be here as a phone interview on our show.
Cool.
He's also going to be in town. He's giving talks at the Eastman. He's giving talks at RIT. It's just going to be a great week all the way around, the Bill Atkinson week, and we're kicking it off here with an 11 o'clock interview. Right near the top of the show. So you do not normally. I know a lot of you are listening over the internet or to the archives. You really. Oh, and I apologize. This week the internet thing isn't working. The streaming media. I'm not quite sure why, but I'll figure that out when I get back to work tomorrow. But I have to tell you that you do not want to miss next week's show live. It's going to be a great event.
In October 24th, he will be speaking at the George Eastman House for a $25 admission fee, presenting a workshop using the Epson Stylus Pro 9600 large format printer, e-sized plotter that everyone wants in their house, 44 inches wide. October 25th, he'll be speaking at the Dryden Theater, and that's a $5 admission. There's more information at the Eastman House website, and you can call the Eastman House, which unfortunately I don't have their phone number handy. Sorry. So if you're into photography, computer photography, or if Actually, here's the phone number. Call 271-3361, extension 218, for information on the George Eastman House presentation. Basically, the HyperCard, we talk about the web a lot, and a lot of people don't remember the web hypertext markup language, randomly bouncing around things. HyperCard was one of the very first applications to do a non-linear approach to software development. And I was trying to remember the guy's name that invented hypertext to begin
with. Ted Nelson.
I kept coming up with Ted Landau, who's an author now on troubleshooting computers.
Right. Ted Nelson wrote a book, the Xanadu Project. He wrote a book called Hypermedia, Hypertext, Hyper something. Anyway, that was the start of it. Yeah, and Bill Atkinson wrote, and one of the questions I have to ask him is, why is there no HyperCard for Linux?
Well, he'll want to know why there's no HyperCard for Mac. When I was at Macworld in 1988, when he introduced HyperCard, and I got to meet him and talk with him, HyperCard on the first Mac 2, the color Mac, and that was one of the continuing conditions of his employment at Apple, is he demanded that HyperCard be included on every Mac, and that lasted for quite a few years.
Yeah, it's a great product. We're gonna talk a little bit about our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. There is, when you first get to the website, you'll see right at the top of the page a poll. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was, what do you do with old computer equipment? 390 of you voted in last week's poll, making it number 31 on our all-time hit list. And the number one choice was keep it, followed closely by cannibalize it for parts. Followed closely by donate it, give it to a relative, Linux-based router, you insensitive clod, drop it on the curb, and way down at the bottom, sell it. This week's poll is about instant messaging. We've had quite a number of things. We've got questions. We've got a worm that's working its way through Microsoft's instant messaging application. Google has talked about their own instant messaging application. Google isn't talking about their own instant messaging application, although the code of some of their other stuff talks about a Google IM. So my question was about instant messaging, and it is, I use instant messaging, and the choices are regularly, irregularly, never, and I live on IM, you insensitive clod. Currently we have 96 votes, and 57% of you, the overwhelming majority, never use instant messaging. 22% of you irregularly, 18% of you regularly, and the 3% of you with no lives live on it. So we're gonna. I hope you will vote in our poll. And when you're done voting in our poll, you'll see down underneath the poll a little yellow orange box, and that will lead you over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Taxi. I hear that every morning when I Sunday morning when I come in. And over on my website, asknick.com, you can leave an opinion about instant messaging. And so far, there are 8 of you, and they're actually about instant messaging. I'm quite shocked.
It's Sunday morning.
It doesn't happen. No, later on, we'll get all the people talking about everything else. Exactly 100 votes right now. So please vote in our poll. And when you're done with all of that, come back to soundbites.org and join us in the forums. We have a forum set up there with the coolest people on the internet in that forum, answering questions and chit-chatting back and forth and raising their blood pressure about the election. And it's a pretty neat place. So come and join us there. You can also see the secretly recorded phone calls that go on the net. And you can see our movie posters and the logos and all that kind of cool stuff. So please join us on soundbites.org. But right now, you can join us right on the show. And our next caller is, I apologize.
Do one more thing.
Dave, I almost skipped Dave entirely, his website of the week.
Okay, this week, for you folks that like to read mystery novels or do mystery games or read mystery books, we've got a website for you. It's mysterynet.com. And Steve will be posting this up. And they have online mysteries where you can sit there and try to figure out different crimes and everything else. It's a really a cool site. So if you're into that type of stuff, check this website out. It's a lot of fun, both for young and old. MysteryNet.com.
Now the question is, can you turn to the back and read the last page first?
Nope.
No?
No, you got to go through and...
Because it's hypertext.
Yeah. So you should be able to jump to the end.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Ariane, and Bill from Honeyoy on the line. Or not, maybe Ed from Parenton. Don't do that to me. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
I'm Ariane.
And this is Soundbites. If you lie like a big pizza pie, that's amore. Ah, my you. You? My you.
That's
amore.
I like that. The old Rat Pack.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. I know I'm aging myself, but, you know, some of the older movies and all that.
And hey, come on,
Frank Sinatra's in a new TV commercial I just saw yesterday.
Oh, that's really unbelievable. Yeah.
No, it's his old age. He's singing. I know. That apparently doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't.
It hasn't mattered in science fiction forever. You can die on a show and come back next week.
Well, in Gladiator, in the movie Gladiator, Oliver Reed died in the middle of filming. They stuck his face on somebody else digitally, and he finished the movie posthumously.
Yeah.
Frank Herbert's written how many books since he died? So has L. Ron Hubbard.
Right. Frank Herbert is rapidly closing into eclipse. L. Ron Hubbard is the most prolific dead author.
Oh, all right. We're back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to... they're switching.
Uh-oh.
It's like the castle maneuver in chess. Now they switch. I don't know what happens next. Our next caller is Ed in Parenton, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
No, a question. I have an answer for your trivia there.
Oh, you're too late. We've already had it answered.
Well, you already had it answered?
Weren't you listening?
Damn, I went to the bathroom. I shouldn't have went to the bathroom.
There you go. No, see? That was good.
What was your answer?
Huh?
What was your answer?
Peanut.
Yeah.
You were right. And I'm sorry, Ed.
How about the name of the keyboard?
The Chiclet.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought that was a trivia question for me.
Yeah. Well, there's your Chiclet keyboard
I have to tell you a quick story about the PC Junior. I used to sell computers. I've gone straight since then. And the other two guys are now giving me dirty looks. But back in the old days, we sold IBMs when the PC Junior first came out. And I went to a training seminar.
Old days, 1980.
Yeah, and back when they had training seminars on stuff. And they had like five rows of long tables with people sitting at them. And I was in the back of the room because I was bored at this. And we suddenly realized that these keyboards were all wireless.
Which was a novel innovation at the time.
Quite a novel innovation. And I realized they were all run by IR and infrared. Which turned out to be bad.
Line of sight.
But what that meant was, in the middle of this guy giving a long and serious sales pitch for some boring piece of nonsense, I suddenly wondered, are these all on the same frequency? And I aimed my keyboard at a machine in the front and started up the music player. and the guy who's giving the thing gives the guy in the front this dirty look because he's playing music while the guy's talking. The guy in the front saying, "I didn't do it, I didn't do it." And meanwhile, I'm getting the guy on the other side of the room who started up his music player, and the third guy who started up his music player. It suddenly was the best seminar I'd been to in a long time.
See, I was in the training class, and we had the juniors in there, and I was pointed to another computer and got them ahead of class, and the guy was coming around. And I just pointed mine back, and it's like, wait a minute, you're not supposed to go that far out. I didn't do it!
You're right.
Turn it, advance him a little bit, jump him ahead.
And then Chuck Gearhart, who used to be the man, God rest his soul, Chuck Gearhart used to be the manager of the computer center. One day he was standing in the middle of Monroe Avenue, in the middle of traffic with the keyboard, seeing how far away you could get. And still work the thing from the middle of his cars are dodging, beeping, left and right. Standing in the middle of the street yelling, I can do it from here!
Can you see me now?
Yeah, you see me now? Not anymore. But I'm sorry, Ed, it's too late for the trivia question. Do you have a question for us? Okay, thanks anyway.
What you should do is have an alternate.
We should have an alternate question?
But then
we have to have an alternate for the alternate, an alternate for the alternate, for the alternate, for the alternate. So we're just, it's like one a week, we're done.
How much did the junior cost when it was introduced? $1,300
right.
In 1984.
Right.
So that's, or in 1983.
Yeah, I would suggest it because I know I got mine for a lot less.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Al from Dundee, New York. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I have a PC, Windows 98. I just got DSL from Frontier, and that was working great. But I got spyware. Cool Web is just replicated itself in my default browser setting. I can't get rid of it. I did go to your website and download SpyBot and Spy Blaster and ran those, and I got and I'm able to control it. But I always unplug my DSL line when I finish, so that I don't have anything that I've missed inadvertently or go out on the web. And it's a royal pain in the butt. I've been trying to get rid of it, and I don't know what to do.
You probably are getting rid of it, but the next time you get on the web yourself, it comes back in.
Yep.
And there's no way to stop that except don't go on the web.
Well, is there any way to there's no way to block all that stuff?
Buy a Mac.
Yeah.
Or don't use Windows. You know, don't get on the web or don't use
Windows. Well, don't use Internet
Explorer.
Explorer,
Foxfire. If you use Foxfire...
Firefox,
or Netscape, or and then Eudora for your email. I mean, there's so many other alternatives.
It doesn't come in as bad as with Internet Explorer.
Yeah,
right. There are removal tools. Thank you very much. Thank you.
He's a professional. Don't try to sit home, folks.
Out on the web. But most of the antivirus and anti-spyware programs should remove it, too. So if you've been dancing the security tango right from the very beginning.
Starting at step one.
Starting at step one and not skipping any steps. You should do pretty good getting rid of it.
But you have to run it every couple of hours or it comes back again.
Well, and that's the problem. Yeah. If you continue using Internet Explorer and you continue using Outlook or Outlook Express, you continue using MSN Instant Messenger, it'll come back.
One of the key things folks have to do within SpyBot, and I know it's a lot of clients are, you know, that are taking our advice and running the Tangle, but within SpyBot there's a button there that says Immunize.
Right.
And you definitely want to click on that. And
I do.
And then go up to the top where it says the plus sign next to immunized. So add that whole database.
Right, exactly what I do.
Yeah. But again, this is
I do it regularly, in fact.
Well, then you're starting to keep somewhat above the hackers, but you know, that are trying to get into your machine. But I would recommend going with Firefox or something else other than Internet Explorer.
What about Mozilla.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Now, Firefox is the web browser part of the Mozilla suite.
Oh, I see.
So that's why we suggest that. There's also Thunderbird, which is the
email
portion of the Mozilla suite. Or you can download Mozilla itself, which is those things packaged together into one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But that's really
there's
where
nothing
you
I can go and buy then.
Pardon?
There's nothing I can go and buy.
There's nothing you need to go and buy.
Yeah, you can get these free.
A lot of, several of the companies will sell you a disk and manual. You can buy Netscape on disk or Mozilla on disk with a printed manual, but you don't need to do that. They're all free downloads.
And there's so many other features, you know, junk mail control now in it.
Pop-up blockers.
So even a firewall, playing with a firewall as in a router, that won't even curb it, will it?
Right. The firewall just protects you from people outside the Internet trying to break into your computer. It doesn't stop the viruses. It doesn't stop the spyware. It doesn't stop
totally different issues.
Right, but you need to run it. You need
yes.
What do we used to? You got to have five programs: the anti-spyware, the antivirus, the pop-up blocker, the firewall, and what was the? I always forget the fifth one. Shoot.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, but you have to run them all the time. Update them daily to make sure that you keep yourself clean.
Yep. So hopefully that helps, sir.
It does. Is there anything we can do to stop the Democrats? Well, that's just a thought.
Just not a good thought for this show. Thanks anyway. I'm afraid we don't do politics here. If you want to do that, you can go to the current events forum in the Soundbites forums.
Yep.
I personally never go there. And all the people who sneak stuff into the Just for Fun forum, I moved them over to the so I don't have to listen to it.
Yeah. One of the debates early on, there was an allegation that CNET's news service was pressuring a college student into asking the candidates their computing preference. And he wouldn't do it, and wouldn't do it, and then they finally forced him into doing it. And then the story broke, and it made everybody look even worse.
Oh, well.
All right, our next caller is, who's our next caller? Ellen from Farmington, New York. Welcome, Ellen. What's your question?
Hi. I downloaded the Service Pack 2 about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I had nothing but trouble since I've done that.
Yeah.
I tuned into your show earlier where you were just kind of at the end complaining about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do I uninstall it?
Under Add Remove Program.
But it's not there.
Yeah, way down at the bottom, you'll see Windows Hotfix, paren, Service Pack 2. There's a bunch of them.
Okay, so it's going to be under Windows Hotfix, Service Pack 2?
Yeah, you got to scroll down to the very bottom.
And there's several that you have to remove, not just one thing to remove.
How do I know which one?
Well, they'll all have that paren, SP2, closed paren.
They'll all say SP2. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've had, constant spyware reloaded constantly. My computer freezes every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doesn't turn off, turn on.
One of the things we talked about at the beginning of the show is that there is a product called TV Media.
Yes, I did find that, and I did find out how to uninstall that through research. But I think I finally got rid of that, but I can't turn the computer off.
Ones.
I can't turn it on.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because it puts in its own firewall. And
for many people, it's been great. But for a lot of other people, it's been a complete pain, and you can uninstall.
Well, the key thing I've been telling a lot of my clients, because they're questioning whether they should go with the SP2 or not, I always tell them, when in doubt, what they want to do is, XP will download this one set of packages.
Right.
Now when you go to update, it says either Express or Custom. And I tell them to always select Custom.
Right, and then
they can just go through it, avoid the whole Service Pack 2, but they can get just the individual patches for patching the whole
Updates.
Mm-hmm. Right. One of the problems with Service Pack 2 is that if you have any spyware or adware on your system, or if you're one of those people who started with a Windows 95 or 98 machine and upgraded, mm-hmm. The registry is in such bad shape that Service Pack 2 screws things up.
Right, I ran the SpyBot. I uninstalled or quarantined all the spyware, restart my computer, run it again, and it's all back there again.
Yeah. Have you run the entire Security Tango? Yeah.
Including turning off the system restore feature.
Yes. Yeah. It's like as soon as I turn back on, I'm automatically connected to the Internet.
Right.
And they are automatically
and
everything.
And it's just going to become a fact of life. In fact, that was one of the other stories I was going to tell you. We were talking about how iTunes, and this one client brought her machine back in again because it was infected.
Again.
And she says, I've been running the SpyBot and the AdAware. That's very good. But the other thing, she goes, and my Norton runs in the background. But, Norton will work with your normal browser. But when it comes to BearShare.
Or Kazaa.
Or LimeWire, any of those, it doesn't scan those files.
And those programs install a lot of spyware by themselves. And a lot of the files that you think you're downloading some new song is a virus or spy program.
Generally speaking, what you're going to find is that almost any of the cool toys you can download from the Internet, like the special bars that you can add to Internet Explorer and all that stuff, all of them are spyware. Get over it. They're just junk.
Well, I've got teenagers online all the time, so they're always downloading that. So I've actually uninstalled just about everything.
They're on Instant Messenger and they're getting stuff. It just happens all
get
over.
Get them their
place.
Own computer, or you take the new one and give them the old one.
Get them a computer and you put Linux on it, then they can't get in any trouble.
And that's where Dave was starting to lead with the iTunes Music Service for Mac or Windows, that you can download songs legally. They're pristine, they're clean, they're very high quality, and you don't have to worry about spyware.
And they're $1 a piece. Jeez and crackers, it's worth
less
it.
Than $1 a piece.
All right, 99 cents.
Well, the thing of it is, too, is most kids, and they'll agree. If they hear a new album out, if they get the whole album, it's just usually one song that they want off of it. With the iTunes, you can go there and get that one or two songs and not have to pay for the whole album.
And preview other songs on the album and see if you do like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Ellen, but it becomes constant vigilance.
Yes, I guess so. But I'm going to try to uninstall this first, and hopefully that will solve some of my problems.
There you
Perfect.
Go.
Perfect. Give it a try. Let us know. Thanks. Constant vigilance. Our next caller, Angelo from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Angelo. What's your question?
Hi, guys. It's been a while since I talked. Had to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad.
listen, I installed Windows 2000 Professional on a partition, running ME,
yeah.
First partition. And as soon as I got the updates, I got hit with spyware and viruses and everything. So I went back and I reinstalled it again. I did a clean install, but it added a second Windows 2000 on the same volume.
Mm-hmm.
So I got two Windows 2000s running on, or not actually running at the same time. I got the option to choose which one. Can I just delete one of them? I don't see an option to remove one over the other.
Well, unfortunately, in order to delete a partition, you've got to use...
Well, I don't have to delete the whole partition.
Two
I just
copies
have to delete
of Windows
one or two.
Yeah, he's got two copies.
Partition.
Oh, two copies
select,
on one partition.
Yeah, and you can select from one or the other.
You can go into that bootloader and have it auto-pick one of them.
Right.
Yeah, and then just eliminate the other one. You've
got
to make sure you're picking the right one.
Right, knowing which one you want to delete.
Okay, once I got 2000 running right, can I eliminate ME?
That would be a good idea.
Yes.
And can I change that drive, that E drive, to a C and then have it run right?
No.
Or shouldn't I have to?
No, because C, to get it an E drive to be a C drive, well, you can add it to it, like with partition magic or something like that.
Combine the partitions
together.
You
can combine it.
Okay.
But you just can't.
But it's always going to boot up as the E drive.
Yeah.
Okay. And your boot drive always has to be C. So if you change, if ME is on C and 2000 is on D, when you boot 2000, 2000 now becomes C. Your C drive, your boot drive is
right.
always C.
Okay. So I can just go in to E drive, erase the one, just delete the ME that I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Win NT, zero, whatever.
Right.
Reformat the drive. Just, as a matter of fact, that's probably the easiest. If it's on another partition, just format.
Right. Our next caller, John from Hamlin, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon. Took your advice and downloaded Mozilla this morning.
Uh-huh.
Everything went pretty smoothly. It's a nice program so far.
Good.
The little glitch I'm having right now was when I went to send out some email, I got a pop-up that said that my server account was not installed properly. And I don't know if I have an incorrect server name for POP and the SMPT. I'm not sure.
That's usually what the
That's usually
who, who's your provider?
Roadrunner.
Then it should be
pop-server.rochester.rr.com.
Yeah.
And smtp-server.rochester.rr.com.
And that's the hyphen, not the underscore.
Correct. It's not working.
And do you have the right username and password?
Yes.
What's the exact error message?
It just says the account is not set up. Probably go back and check your server settings.
You can try deleting all the text that's in the server settings and retyping it back in again.
Right.
I've sometimes noticed where I'll accidentally hit like a control character in the middle so you can't see it.
Once in a while I hit a comma instead of a period, and if it's in a small type, I can't see it well.
Yeah.
I don't have to put the port number after the server name?
No.
It's already in there, so.
Well, POP is port 110 and SMTP is port 25. If those aren't correct, it won't work either.
Oh, mine says port 995.
That's why it's not working.
That might be it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are the port numbers again?
POP is 110.
Okay.
And SMTP is 25.
25. All right, I'll go back and check those.
I'm annoyed that I remember
that.
Okay. The other question was that because I do have Mozilla, I want to do Windows Update, and Windows said I had to have Internet Explorer.
Well, you have to use Internet Explorer to do Windows Update, so you boot it, you do your update, you shut it down. Yeah. You can have multiple browsers on your system at the same time and, in fact, running at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, as long as you have enough memory, that's not a problem. So even with Mozilla up and running, you can boot up Internet Explorer, do your update, shut Internet Explorer down again. Our next caller, Ruth from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Ruth. What's your question?
Not really a question. I run the Tangle. I run the Stinger AVG, AdAware, and Cybolt.
Sure.
And they're all up to date, and everything's clean. And then I go and run House Call.
Yeah.
You heard of it?
Yeah.
And it finds this, mostly this comes up, Java, and it's B-Y-T-E-V-E-R-A.
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 Yeah.
And if they're, whether it's a virus or I don't know what it is, but it finds it where the Tango doesn't find it.
Yeah. Does it say what program it's in?
It just says documents and settings.
Yeah. What may be happening, and we talked about this earlier, inside the other antivirus program are the signatures for all of these viruses and spyware.
Mm-hmm.
Some programs, and the one we were talking about earlier was PC Pit Stop, don't understand these spyware killers and think that the little strings they find in them means they have the virus.
So this...
It's misinterpreting the file. DAT file, which it holds information, which is legit, but this other program that you're running thinks it's spyware.
Huh. But it's not?
No.
Yeah.
It's pretty unlikely that it is.
I mean, if you stick with Adaware and SpyBot, you're good.
Okay.
I mean, those are the two tools that, you know, in most cases, I mean, in our shop, we're running that on every machine. The machine doesn't leave our shop with those two not on it now,
mm-hmm.
and they do the job.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm running them.
There you go. That's all you need.
Okay.
Thanks, Ruth. Our next caller, Ginny from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
I'm actually calling to kind of be the other side of the coin, so to speak.
Okay.
I've heard all of you knocking the Service Pack 2.
Mm-hmm.
I must tell you, I installed it a few weeks ago. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Like I said, about half the people love it and the other half of the people hate
it.
No,
it's our standard answer.
Pop-up or a spyware, adware, spybot, hasn't found anything since I picked it up.
Yep. And you was your machine fairly new?
Yes, it is.
See, that's a big piece of it. If you've got a new machine, Service Pack 2 works great.
It does.
Yeah.
If you've got an older machine that you updated a couple times or might have had spyware, you added and removed some programs, the registry is not as robust as on a new machine, and you have a problem. But I'm delighted that it works for you, Ginny.
Oh, I love it.
We're very pleased that for a number of people it does work so well, and we're delighted to see that.
Yes. I do have one question for you. I'm helping a friend who has Windows 98 Second Edition.
Yeah.
We cannot shut it down. He keeps getting he has to hit the control, delete, and alternator.
Yeah, what you want to do... What you want to do, because we got to go to a break, is go to our website, and you can go to, I heard this on Soundbites.
Okay.
Scroll down. There is a Windows 98 shutdown patch. Download that, install. I guarantee that will solve the issue.
At the bottom of your page?
Somewhere on that page.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Thanks, Ginny. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Rave, Rob Linton, Ariane, and me, Nick Francesco. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Nick Francesco, and I want to talk to you about the anonymizer again. We've talked about this before. You're surfing the net, and you want to make sure that you are safe. How would you like to surf absolutely anonymously? You can do it. And you can do it for cheaper than you might think. You can get the entire anonymizer suite, the spyware killer, the mail shell, anti-spam desktop, and Anonymizer 2004 so that you can surf completely anonymously on the Internet. This is a value of $90, but because I love you best, I'm going to give it to you for only $49.95. How do you get it? Simple enough. Go to getprivatenow.com. That's www.getprivatenow.com. That's all one word. You'll see a little box to type in my name, Nick. Do that, and you can get Anonymizer's Privacy Suite, a $90 value for a mere $49.95. That's getprivatenow.com. My name, Nick, and it's yours.
Hi, welcome to Steel Communications. Help
PCs to Macs. These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Casey Kasem.
What was that in the background? Was that the Chipmunks? No, the Chipmunks.
Start spreading the news.
You know, I tell you what, you know what people should do? Even though this is a computer show, they should email me and let me know what songs they want to hear.
Oh, are you in some serious trouble now?
Well, here's the deal. Now, of course, it all has to be approved by the management and everything like that. But if they email me, I can check in the following week. If I'm allowed, I can put, you know, little bumps or something like that in there.
You heard it first here, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm allowed to play up to a minute of songs on Wham.
A minute total or a minute of each song?
Only a minute of each song.
Ah.
Before we have to pay the copyright holder.
Exactly. Don't you guys pay
a blanket fee for all?
Blanket fee. So, I mean, of course, no, I can't play every, you know, I can't, you know. Yeah. I've got to use our bumps and stuff. But just for random ideas, you know, because I run out of ideas after a while.
That'd be cool. Well, you are that, yes. Yes. Yeah, he said himself when he meant it, didn't he?
And it's on tape.
Dissing me.
All right, so you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Rob's email address is available.
rob@wham1180.com.
Right, and you can even get to it through our website, or just rob@wham1180.com.
And Nick, what is your website again?
Soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Or were you talking about asknick.com? That's asknick.com.
All my sound effects are gone. Here it is. There we go.
There we go. Thank you. I've been waiting for that all day. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Marcy, patiently waiting in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Marcy. What's your question?
Well, I got an interesting thing here. I'm using McAfee, and I've got the firewall, although somebody said, oh, you've got dial-up. You don't need it. Well,
yeah, you do.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that was a silly thing to say to me, especially somebody who is in the computer biz who ought to know better.
Yep.
Generally, they say since you're on dial-up, you're not connected long enough.
I can see
you're not connected fast enough. Nobody's going to bother with you. But
I know
still,
nonsense. Computers don't know what speed you're connected at. If they find you, they'll hit you. And the average time to get hit is 54 seconds. So how long are you not on the web? No, it's nonsense.
I need a firewall. I see it less though.
You see it less, but it's not you don't see it.
Yeah, but.
Anyway, go ahead, Marcy.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I have a persistent problem as an inbound event, and I'm absolutely mystified. This has been going on for well over a year. The source IP is 0.0.0.0 with port 0, and about every 6 minutes I get hit, whether I'm on or offline. I have gone to safe mode. I've run SpyBot, AdAware, VirusScan, ScanDisk, RegClean. I've done everything.
How about hijack this? It's another utility, because you might have some of the other spyware programs out there that a lot of AdAware, SpyBot don't find. Mm-hmm. Like there's one called Home Search Assistant.
Mm-hmm.
None of the utilities out there that you'll find will remove it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a one program, though. It's called Hijack This.
How do I spell that, and where do I find it?
H-I-J-A-C-K-T-H-I-S.
Hijack This. Okay.
Yep, Hijack This. You download that utility, put it on your desktop, and you run it, and it literally shows you all the other things that are running that might, and you kind of got to read the instructions and follow it, but it'll let you remove some of this other stuff that AdAware and SpyBot will not do.
And a lot of times, the Hijack This forum, which we'll have a link to in a minute, you post your Hijack This log into the forum, and they'll basically say, here's the line you need to worry about, and here's how to remove it. Because it's pretty technical and pretty geeky, but it finds everything the computer's running.
Yeah, we've used that quite a bit, but you got to know what you're doing.
Okay, because I'm just... Well, it fills up my inbound events. Every so often I have to clear the entire log. You know, here we go, here's another one. Just whacked me again. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't even have to be online. So it's very strange. But okay, Hijack This.
Yep.
This is kind of a secondary question. If you have a moment... Maybe somebody out there can put in a question. I have Microsoft Publisher.
Yeah.
I started a small thing which turned into a small book. And what I can't stand about Microsoft Publisher, but I can't afford something like Adobe PageMaker for one book, for crying out loud. It's the pagination. When I'm not running it in, you know, full page and then shrinking it down. I'm running it, you know, two pages per one page is turned horizontal, you know what I mean?
Right.
It treats those two pages as one when it comes to paginating. Yes, it'll give me page one, page two, or whatever, page two, page three.
It's really one page three, page five.
Right.
You have to do a custom page size and then what's called a signature proof or what's the other word they call it? spread, a spread that takes your two 5x8 pages and puts it together on an 8x11 sheet of paper.
There you are. You've heard it from Steve. He knows all about Publisher. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Ariane, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Watch. Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome to Naptime in the Afternoon.
You know what song this is, Steve.
That's Dance. The last
Come
dance.
On. But then it speeds up.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys don't know this. I mean, I wasn't even born yet. You guys are what? 20? 30?
Years older than you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last Dance.
Go ahead, Nick. Nick, I listened to the Beatles before they were popular.
That's sad.
Okay, that's the band Paul McCartney was in before Wings. You don't even know Wings, do you? See?
Nope.
How sad is that?
A very good friend of mine.
I doubt that.
Teenage daughter was in a music store, and she said, "Oh, the Beatles and Wings." And my friend Bobby goes, "Yeah, but he was in the Beatles before that."
Yeah.
He goes, I used to listen to
him. See, this is where the song gets good. Ready?
Now we're out of time. See you next week.
We're out of time. For these guys, the question of the day, and this is a sexist thing, but this is what young boys did back in those days. The question was always Daphne or Velma?
Shut up.
In my day, the question was Betty
or
Wilma.
Or Wilma, yeah.
Exactly. That's your era. Or
there's this great
Lucy
scene,
or Ethel.
Great,
that's your era.
Great scene.
Okay? For guys. I don't know what it was for women.
Wait a minute.
As I wasn't one, ever.
What were some of the TV shows that were on back that you can remember that were some of your favorite TV
Captain
shows?
Kangaroo.
Captain Kangaroo. Mr. Green Jeans.
Oh. Captain Midnight.
High on a mountaintop above a small Midwestern city stands a citadel of truth and justice. It is the home of Jet Jackson.
How about Jackson? A friend of mine didn't believe that it was actually existed. A program.
Tom Corbett, Space Cadet.
Yep. Winky Dink.
Winky Dink! I loved Winky Dink!
Winky
I
Dink.
Had the little thing you put on the television set.
I had to go search on the web and I found the kit.
I loved Winky Dink!
And
well, now,
what a great show!
The new Team America from the creators of South Park. An homage to Sylvia and Jerry Anderson's Super Mario Nation.
Exactly!
Because the Thunderbirds movie tanked, directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we're doing
Thunderbirds! Thunderbirds are go! I love Thunderbirds! Mike Mercury, Supercar. Or they said, Supercar.
Rin Tin Tin.
Superstar. Rin Tin Tin! I loved Rin Tin Tin!
With Rusty.
Sergeant Preston of the Yukon!
That's another case closed. Well,
and
King.
A lot of these, a lot
Sky
of
Sky King. Come on, you guys.
A lot of these shows are making a comeback now on TV.
Have Gun Will Travel.
Have Gun Will Travel with Richard Widmark, Paladin. I loved that show. You guys just don't know. You have no idea.
No, they're all making F-Troop. A comeback on TV Land and on Nick at Night.
Nick, we gotta go.
F Troop with the Hakawis. Come on,
we gotta go.
They cleaned up a great joke and made it... Okay, all right. We're done for another week. We'll be back next Saturday at this same bat time, same bat channel with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Ariane. Will we be graced with your presence again next week? Who knows? I'm Nick Francesco. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The case of...